1 Kings chapter 21. We've been in church today. And church just wouldn't be church without preaching. We thank the Lord for it. We like to get happy about a lot of stuff. But nothing we get happy about will make us holy like the Word of God. And it came to pass after these things that Naboth, the 21st chapter of 1 Kings, the Jezreelite had a vineyard which was in Jezreel, hard by the palace of Ahab, king of Samaria. And Ahab spake unto Naboth, saying, give me thy vineyard that I may have it for a garden of herbs, because it is near unto my house. And I will give it thee for it a better vineyard than it. Or if it seem good to thee, I will give thee the worth of it in money. Naboth said unto Ahab, the Lord forbid it me, that I should give the inheritance of my fathers unto thee. And Ahab came into his house, heavy and displeased, because of the word which Naboth the Jezreelite had spoken to him. For he had said, I will not give thee the inheritance of my fathers. And he laid him down upon his bed and turned away his face and would eat no bread. But Jezebel his wife came to him and said unto him, why is thy spirit so sad that thou eatest no bread? And he said unto her, because I spake unto Naboth the Jezreelite, said unto him, give me thy vineyard for money, or else, if it please thee, I will give thee another vineyard for it. And he said, I will not give thee my vineyard. Jezebel his wife said unto him, dost thou now govern the kingdom of Israel? Arise and eat bread, let thine heart be merry, and I will give thee the vineyard of Naboth the Jezreelite. So she wrote letters in Ahab's name and sealed them with his seal and sent the letters unto the elders of the nobles that were in his city dwelling with Naboth. And she wrote in the letter saying, proclaim a fast and set Naboth on high among the people and set two men, sons of Belial, before him to bear witness against him, saying, thou didst blaspheme God and the king, and then carry him out and stone him, and that he may die. And the men of the city, even the elders and the nobles who were the inhabitants in his city, did as Jezebel had sent unto them, and as it is written in the letters that which she had sent unto them, they proclaimed a fast, set Naboth on high among the people. And there came in two men, children of Belial, sat before him, and the men of Belial witnessed against him, even against Naboth, in the presence of the people, saying, Naboth did blaspheme God and the king. Then they carried him forth out of the city and stoned him with stones that he died. Then they sent to Jezebel, saying, Naboth is stoned and is dead. And it came to pass when Jezebel heard that Naboth was stoned and was dead, that Jezebel said to Ahab, arise, take possession of the vineyard of Naboth the Jezreelite, which he refused to give thee for money. For Naboth is not alive, but dead. And it came to pass when Ahab heard that Naboth was dead, that Ahab rose up to go down to the vineyard of Naboth the Jezreelite to take possession of it. There is perhaps a narrative that runs across the world in this day and age, and I would imagine in all different ages, that the Bible is a boring book. Now, I could end the service just with reading that text, and you would, with a very limited knowledge of the Bible, if that's you today, conclude, if anything, it is not a boring book. Let the church say amen. Father, add thy blessing to the reading of your word. Cleanse me of sin, empty me of self, and fill me with your spirit. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Thank you for standing. In this day and age, if you look at the television, you look at the internet, and then you look at what we call popular people, it's kind of hard to discern just what a man should be. We not only can't tell what a man should be, sometimes you can't even tell if a man is a man. And it's getting worse as I speak. You can't look to the highest offices of the land and find character. You can find good athleticism, but not necessarily character. You can find innovative politicians, but not necessarily character.
dad can get on stage or get on film and act like a good daddy and act like a good husband, but after the act is over, they go back to being anything but that. Those who make the most money and those who seem to determine which way the paradigms shift. Those in our world who seem to push the narratives forward. They have the largest platforms, the biggest followings, those who have the largest social media presence. They may be those with all the attention, but rarely are those that we could call good men. I'm thankful that in 2018 there are still some good men. I'm thankful that as a pastor of the Crossroads Baptist Church, that I don't have to fly across the world somewhere or get in my car and travel to another church to find good men. I'm glad I don't have to look on some show or look up on some Google site or go try to listen to somebody else's story to find a good man. I'm glad today that as a young fella, as a baby, I was raised in the home of a good man. I'm glad that he didn't just tell me what it was. He showed me what it was. I'm glad that I grew up as a younger brother with an older brother that was a good man. I'm glad that I had a youth pastor and a youth director and men that were good men. I'm glad that I can pastor today good men. But good men don't become good men by accident. Now in our passage of scripture, we're going to see two different men. And very quickly today, I'm going to give you three things about one. Three things about another, and then one thing about both of them. One of them is the kind of man that we all ought to want to be. And the other is the kind of man that nobody ought to want to be. One is the kind of man that very few seem to be, and one of them is the kind of man that most men tend to be. And I'm telling you, if you're going to be a good man, you got to break the mold of what's normal and determine to step away from normal and be somebody that God can use. As we look at both men in our text today, I'm going to give a response of the same three words to each man that serves as our title. And yet, the response to this man over here is going to be the same words as the response to this man. But how the phrase is used with each respective man is going to determine exactly what it means. Our first man today is Naboth. And to Naboth, we use our title. Come on, man. In other words, keep being who you're supposed to be. Keep doing what you're supposed to do. And I say not just to Naboth, but I say to every man and boy in the building today and those under the sound of my voice today or at a later time, look at the life of Naboth and I say to every man and boy, come on man, be like that man. We're going to look at Ahab in a few minutes. And my response to him is, come on man. Come on, man. Keep standing for what's right. Come on, man. Are you out of your mind? Come on, men. Keep living for God. Come on, men. Keep standing for God. Come on, boys. Let down to be different. Come on, young men. Keep your life pure. Come on, young men. Live a life of holiness. Come on, young man. Don't follow the world's way. Follow God's way. Come on. Keep being men that God can use. For all of you out there living like Ahab, I want to say to you, come on, man. Shame on you. Very quickly, three things. I promised you I wouldn't be long, but I want you to get them. Three things about Naboth. Number one, holy principles. Now the king said, give me it or sell me it. And to Naboth, it didn't really matter whether you want me to give it to you or sell it to you.
I ain't going to do it for one reason. The Lord forbid it me. Somebody say amen. He had a vineyard. You know the background of the story. If you don't, he had a vineyard that was adjacent to the king's palace. It just made sense, since it was near the palace, for him to let the king have it. But yet Naboth did not live by what made sense to people. He lived by what God had commanded him to do. Notice the statement of Naboth. The Lord forbid it me. I don't have time, but in Leviticus 25 verse 23, Numbers chapter 36 verse 7, Ezekiel chapter 46 verse 18, God made it very clear that the land was not to pass out of the family. It was to be passed down to the inheritance of the children and on through the line, so that the land that God gave them that belonged to God would stay in the hands of the people that he had given it to. Naboth said, I don't care who you are. I don't care what you say. I don't care what you offer me. When I make decisions on one simple thing. What does God say? Pastor, what's the message to every man and boy in the building today? Don't you make decisions based on what they do in Hollywood. Don't you make decisions based on what they do on your job. Don't you make decisions based on what the actors do and the celebrities do. Don't you make decisions based on what other people tell you to do. You make decisions based on the word of God. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. There is a way that seemeth right unto men, but the end thereof are the ways of death. I'm just simply saying, if you give your heart to God and you live the way that God says, I have one phrase for you today. Come on, man. Keep being that. Holy principles. Write this down about Naboth. Humble persistence. What do you mean? Regardless of what Ahab threw at him, he said no. Now, you know what I've learned? That some men will decline until the stakes get higher. Somebody say amen. Hey, man. Come watch this. No, I can't watch this. I'm busy. Well, if you watch it, I'll pay your way. Maybe I'll think about it. Huh? It amazes me how people can say no one time, but can't keep saying no many times. Can I tell you something about Naboth? Naboth not only said, King, I can't do it. When the king said, give it to me because of who I am, he said no. When the king said, I'll give you the value of it, he said no. By the way, when there was pressure on him, he said no. When he was offered a price, he said no. When there was prestige offered his way, can you imagine what Naboth would have been perceived as in the kingdom if he was the one that gave the king the vineyard? Everybody would have thought he was something. Perhaps he would have established a relationship with royalty. But Naboth said, Rather than having a relationship with a king that sits on the throne, I'd like to keep my relationship right with the king who forever sits on the throne. Humble persistence. Number three, honorable practices. Say, Pastor, how do you know Naboth had honorable practices? I'll tell you how. Because they had to lie on him. They had to set him up to bring him down. And if you search scripture, every time in the Bible there was a planned setup of someone to bring him down, the reason for that being was because when he lived his life, you couldn't bring him down, so you had to make up something to bring. I wish there were men of God in 2018 who wouldn't make it so easy for the devil to bring you down. Daniel was a prayer warrior, so they had to make praying illegal. Are you listening to me? Paul was a preacher, so they had to make preaching illegal. Huh? Jesus was sinless, so they had to crucify him without a cause after Pilate said, I find no fault in him. I'm simply saying, are there any men in the building who made up their mind, I'm going to love my wife, I'm going to raise my kids right, I'm going to live a life of purity, I'm going to stay away from pornography, I'm going to keep alcohol out of my system, I'm going to live a life of wholesomeness and righteousness and integrity, and if people bring me down, they're going to have to lie on me. That's Naboth. Now let's move to Ahab. All the neighbors in the building, come on, man. Live like him. You fellas ought to quit making all your role models some of these thugs. Now, I'm not stereotyping. Ain't all of them thugs, but some of them are proclaimed thugs. Amen. Now, I'm not just talking about what they look like. I'm talking about what they say. I'm talking about what they act like.
We don't just judge people and make everybody a certain lifestyle because of the way they look. But I'm talking about when a guy cusses on his music and wears stuff that defies Almighty God and demeans women and pushes drugs and alcohol and rebellion and disrespects his parents and has no respect for authority and walks around like he's lost his mind with his pants falling off his backside. I'm telling you, that ought not be your role model. You ought to have a role model, somebody that comes to church faithfully, that carries their Bible, that sings gospel songs, that has a pure mind, that opens the door for his wife, that still kisses his mama when he's a grown man, that believes in being there for his children, that doesn't just buy them success, but he gives them himself. That ought to be your role model. Come on, man. And you men ought to be being like that. So should I. Now, Ahab. A haughty perspective, full of pride. What do you mean? Well, in his selfish desires, here's what a man full of pride acts like. He never has enough. What do you need a venue for? You got a palace. Because when I'm full of me, I can never be satisfied with what me has. Amen. Full of pride, not only his selfish demands, but full of pride in his sulking disgust. When he couldn't get it, he went home. Crossed his arms, turned his head away from the light, put the pillow over his head proverbially, and refused it. Watch this now. This is a grown man. Watch this now. I ain't eating because I didn't get what I want. Now, before you laugh at Ahab, you might have some Ahab in you. Fix me what I want or I ain't going to eat. Do what I tell you to do or I don't want to participate. Huh? Crown me king in this household or I won't be nothing in this household. You got some Ahab in you. Well, Pastor, what's the big deal? What you got to say about me this morning? One phrase. Come on, man. You're not all that. Amen. That's pride. Pride comes for destruction and a haughty spirit before a fall. Let another man praise thee. Don't be full of yourself walking around like they ought to throw roses and bring out the pomp and circumstance. When you walk in, every once in a while you ought to remind the reins of your brains that when God found you, you were drowning in debauchery and depravity without God or his son, headed to a devil's hell. You didn't get saved because you look good. You didn't get saved because you bench press a lot. You didn't get saved because you work a good job. You didn't get saved because you all that. You got saved because God looked beyond your fault and it saw your need. He who knew no sin became sin for you, that you might be made the righteousness of God in him. Get that Ahab up out of you. Hardy perspective. Number two, this is going to get some of you. Henpecked personality. I'm running out of time, so I'm not going to take time to exegetically qualify these statements, but I guarantee you, you read 1 Kings 21, you look up him, henpecked, Ahab going to be smiling with his picture there. By the way, you can throw out political correctness in this part right now, because I ain't really concerned about political correctness. By the way, when the world tries to tell you what the man ought to be in the home and the woman ought to be in the home and starts to give its definitions of what it ought to be, why don't you look at the track record of the world and see how well they've been doing it when they do it their way. And then you look at the track record of godly people who've been married for 30 and 40 and 50 years, and you're going to find out that not only have they gotten their words from the Bible, but they've gotten their definitions from the Bible. It still says the husband is the head of the wife, and the wife ought to submit. I'm not talking about subservience. I'm not talking about slavery. I'm not talking about inferiority. I'm talking about the order of Almighty God. And by the way, the only one that sets the order is the one that started the origin. And if God started marriage, then God, somebody help me preach now. God sets the order. Amen. Honey,
I told Naboth to give me the vineyard, and then I told him if he wouldn't give it to me, I'd pay him for it. And he told me no.
Are you listening to me now? This is Ahab.
He told me no, and I'm not eating anymore because I can't give it away. That's how I feel, honey.
And then the wife says after the husband said,
he said no.
The wife said, he did? That man David said no? Do you know who you are?
Yes, ma'am.
Do you know you're the king?
I know I'm the king.
Don't you know you're in charge?
Whatever you say, Jezebel.
Then you tell him he can't do that to me. You get up and eat, honey. I'll go take care of this. Because after all, I'm the wife. And
you're the husband.
Henpecked. This is in the Bible. Don't shake your head. It's in the Bible. Well, my wife's too aggressive. Maybe your leadership's too weak. I'm trying to close this message, but I spotted some of you in the crowd, and I hit overtime. Amen. Some new thoughts popped in my mind when you came across my view. Man up. Man up. Shame on you, your wife know more Bible than you do. Well, she's just smarter than study harder. Shame on you. She spends more time with God than you do. She's got more time on her hand, and clear up some more time on your hands. Amen. Shame on you if she prays and you don't pray. Shame on you if she tithes and you don't tithe. Shame on you if when something needs to get done, you sit back and kick your feet up while your honey goes and plays Wonder Woman. Bless God, you're the man in the house. You're the strong man in the house. God set you as the husband. God set you as the father. Get up off your blessed assurance and man up. Come on, man. Heinous personality. And lastly, I'm sorry, henpecked personality. And then lastly, heinous passions. He turned out to be an evil man that did some unthinkable things because he let his wife run his life. And how many of us would be honest today? We wouldn't be the men we are without our wives. Thank the Lord for it. But you should never be so sorry and so slothful and so that she's going to run out and do evil stuff in your name. And you're going to let her do it. Amen. My wife has every credit card I have, she has a credit card. But if the credit card I had, she had a credit card for, she was playing the lottery and buying beer and cutting the food, I'd take the credit card away. It ain't about me running things. It's about God's place, responsibility, and stewardship in my life. And when I loan my stewardship out to someone who uses it on my behalf for a way that dishonors God, not only is she wrong for doing it, but I'm wrong for letting her. Well, I don't live that way. Well, I got one phrase for you. Come on, man. Y'all start. You're going to bring the wrath of God on your home. I'm closing. Those are three things about Naboth and three things about Ahab. Now, one thing about Naboth. He had, if you would, a hopeful prospect. Even though Ahab was killing him with Jezebel's help, God was for him. And you know what he ended up with? A defended life. Listen, when you do right and you can't fight for your own name, God fights for you. You say, but he was already dead. Yeah, but long after he was dead, God was defending him. See, real men don't have to go around, poke their chest out and prove they're right. They just live for God and God will prove they're right. He had a defended life, amen, and he had a distinctive legacy. Isn't it amazing? We're still talking about Naboth doing right.
Now, Ahab, he had what I call a horrible product. God came in the person of Elijah. Thus saith the Lord, verse 19. You killed and took his possession. Watch this now. I like God. I like the way God does things. He not only approached Ahab. He approached Ahab while he was in the vineyard that he stole. Go to the scene of the crime. Let's run a press conference from where it happened. We report live from the scene. Amen. Take the whole jury, judge, and courtroom to the scene of the crime. I like when they do that on Matlock. They do it at the scene of the crime. It makes things so much more vivid and visual. While you down, watch yourself. While you down there enjoying something you had no business having, God gonna send the preacher man to the vineyard to let you know you thought you got away from it. But guess what? You can run, but you can't hide. The hound dogs of heaven will hunt you down. Come on, man. Now, you may be a man in the building thinking you got it made in the shade drinking pink lemonade, but I want to tell you, God can find you enjoying what you never had business enjoying. You could be cheating on your wife. God will catch you in the middle of it. And I ran into some that were in trouble, jumping and hopping and dropping stuff and putting out a fresh cigarette because the preacher walked up. Listen to me now. God has a way of catching. Listen, it never pays to do wrong, and it always pays to do right. God's going to kill you, and the dogs are going to lick your blood in the same place they licked Naboth's blood. Well, happy Father's Day. If you want a massage, let your family give it to you. This is church. Amen. I'm preaching to me just as I am preaching to you. I don't want to lose my family. I don't want to lose my marriage. And you go Ahab way, you'll lose it all. You go Naboth way, God will protect it all. Amen. And there's Ahabs and Naboths all over the world and all over the church. Too many Ahabs and not enough Naboths. Nobody made you have kids. Nobody forced you to say, I do. And nobody asked you what you wanted to be before you were born. God answered for you. It's too late to change. You are who you're supposed to be. So man up. And to all the Naboths in the house are all those looking at Naboth, from the boys to the men. I say to you, let's not let the devil win. Come on, man. Let's live for God. And all the Ahabs in the building who let the world handicap your philosophy on who you're supposed to be. And you've not only lived it, but justified it. I say to you, with the written word in front of you, do you really think you can justify that? Come on, man. Stop living like that. Amen. And start living for God. Amen. Our Father, we thank you. Thank you for your word. What a great responsibility we have to be men, fathers and husbands that do right on purpose. By the way, if you're a single lady this morning, don't look for Ahab, look for Naboth. If you're a mom or daddy this morning, don't try to raise an Ahab. Raise a Naboth. And by the way, while I'm thinking about it, if you're a wife or a wannabe wife, don't be a Jezebel. You say, Pastor, what do you mean? Come back next May. Maybe we preach on her for Mother's Day. Happy Mother's Day. Let's get back to the Bible way. It always worked and it still works. All over the building, Pastor, I know I'm going to heaven. If you know that, would you raise your hand? I know that I'm going to heaven. I know it.
God bless you. Let me put your hand down. Pastor, God's spoken to me. By the way, not just the men, but everybody. God's spoken to me about what I should look for, what I should be, how I should raise my kids, how I should invest in these young men, how I should stand behind the leadership, how I should support. God spoke to me in some way between these two. And I want to be the come on man and doing right. And not the come on man. Why am I doing that? Or the come on lady or come on sir. God spoke to my heart today. If that's you, would you raise your hand? Men have already come to the altar all over the building. God bless you. Ladies with the hands up. God bless you. And men and boys. I hope all of you young boys, the call to the altar today is for you young men and boys and men today. Respond to the Lord. Last question. Pastor, you say, I'm not sure if I died today, I'd go to heaven. But I want to go to hell. Pray for me. Man, woman, boy, girl, doesn't matter who you are. Could I tell you, when you stand before God, He's not going to be balancing heaven with the equal amount of males and females or boys and girls. He wants to know, have you been washed in the blood? Pastor, I know for sure if I do not know for sure if I died today, I'd go to heaven. But I know for sure I don't want to go to hell. Please pray for me. If that's you, would you raise your hand? Anybody like that? I don't know if I died today, I'd go to heaven. Thank you, young man. I appreciate your honesty. In just a moment, I'm going to ask you if you'd be willing to let someone show you. We're not pressuring you. We won't tell you anything that's not in the Bible. We just want to show you how you can know you're going to heaven. Anyone else would join this honest young man? Anyone else? Stand together all over the building. Lord, would you bless this invitation time? Move in our midst, I pray in Jesus' name. Amen.